Amen. Hope that blessed you this morning, wouldn't it? I don't light your fire, your wood's wet, right? Turn, if you would, in your Bibles this morning to Exodus chapter 16, and we're going to be in John chapter 6. Exodus 16 and John chapter 6. It's good to see Brother Miss Hurd here this morning. Been praying for them as well, and loss of Dad there. And just, Brother Hurd, good to see you this morning. I'm going to get off. You know, your bulletin says I'm preaching on worship this morning. We're not going to do that this morning. Tonight, Brother Collins is going to be preaching. Brother Collins has a prison ministry. Him and his wife joined our church a few months ago, and we're looking forward to him presenting that ministry tonight and presenting his burden for prisons. And I tell you what, it is a field wide into harvest, and I'm looking forward to hearing his burden tonight and our opportunity to partner with him, as we've already begun a prison ministry about a year and a half ago. And then, so I've taken the message I would have preached tonight, I'm going to preach it this morning, and we've been preaching on Sunday nights, just basically Old Testament stories and their New Testament applications. And so this morning, we're going to preach about Jesus. Yes, and I think the songs went right along with it, and so the application this morning, I'm looking forward to. All right, look with me in Exodus chapter 16. Most of you are familiar with the Old Testament story of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. Again, at the end of the book of Genesis, Joseph brings his family down to Egypt. His dad, Jacob, his brothers, all their families, about 75 people who then made up the Jewish nation, the Israelites. And there they stayed in Egypt for 400 years. And so when you pick up the first chapter of the book of Exodus, you find that the children of Israel have been enslaved now by the Egyptians. And there arose a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. And they became to be under hard bondage, the Bible says, and enslaved. And the Egyptians put taskmasters over them and charged them to build them treasure cities. And the children of Israel began to cry out to God, and God, please have mercy on us. And God heard their cry, Exodus tells us. I'm glad God hears our cry. And God heard their cry, and God sent them a deliverer. God sent them Moses. And most of you will know the story, but Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house. He was a Jew, but he was raised in Pharaoh's house. And then he lived on the backside of the desert for about 40 years. But at 80 years old, he comes back to Egypt and begins the process of delivering the children of Israel. And actually, God does it through Moses. But God sends big plagues upon Egypt. God sends 10 plagues upon Egypt. Great miracles from God. And that last miracle of the firstborn dying in the Passover. What a tremendous story. And so finally Pharaoh gives up and says, get out of here. That's summary. And they leave with all their stuff. The Bible says they left with great treasures, and it was not just the Jews that left, but the Bible speaks about a mixed multitude of people leaving Egypt. They traveled down to the Red Sea, and there God parts the waters. And again, when they parted the waters, it wasn't like they parted the waters, 10 feet wide. The Bible says they crossed through the Red Sea in one night. In order to do that, God would have had to part of the waters about a mile wide. So he parted the waters a mile wide. They crossed through the Red Sea on dry ground, by the way. Didn't have to wear their mud boots. And passed through. And then they found themselves on the other side. And of course, we know that the waters came down and killed the host of the Egyptian army and killed Pharaoh as well. And so they went to their journey, and they came to Mount Sinai. And there they received the Ten Commandments and on through. And they came to the River Jordan. And they were supposed to go into the promised land, the land that they had left 400 years earlier, the land that Jacob and Joseph had left 400 years earlier, the land that God had promised to them. They were supposed to cross over Jordan and go back into the promised land, but because of their lack of faith, they did not. The Bible says they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, wandering is kind of a terminology, but God led them by a cloud by day and a fire by night. So God led them in the wilderness. The wilderness is not like you would think of wilderness either. It wasn't like it was a bunch of trees and forests. No, it was more like desert. It was not conducive for many times for habitation of human beings, especially to find food for 1 to 3 million people. And so you find in this, here in chapter 16, in the previous chapter, they just came to the bitter waters of Marah, and God turned those bitter waters sweet, and he showed them the oasis of Elim. In verse 27, it says, "And they came to Elim where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters." And verse 16 says, "And they took their journey from Elim." And verse 2 says, "And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, and because they were hungry." And it says in verse 3, "And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died in the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." He said, "Moses, just let us out here to die. We're hungry." Verse 4, "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them, test them, whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." So on Friday they would gather twice as much. "And Moses and Aaron said unto the children of Israel, At even, then you shall know the Lord hath brought you out of the land of Egypt." Verse 7, "And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us?" In other words, why are you murmuring against us? Verse 8, "And Moses said, This shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord." There's lots of application here. I mean, many times when we're complaining about what someone else is doing, whatever, that God's in control, right? Be careful when we murmur and complain. Verse 9, "And Moses spake unto Aaron, saying to the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings." And look at verse 12, "And I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel speaking to them. At even you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread." And in verse 13, it says, "And it came to pass that in evening the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay around about the host." And when the, listen to this, verse 14, "And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, when it evaporated, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. When the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was." Manna means, what is it? It's not that they called it manna. Manna is, the word manna means, what is this stuff? What is it? "And Moses said to them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." God gave them bread. I'm just amazed. And we could read all the way through chapter 30, verse 36 about this manna, about how God gave it to them. Not only did he supply them manna every morning except the Sabbath day, which is Saturday. They were to go every morning. They could gather an omer, which is about a half a gallon of this bread, of this small bread. They would pick it up off the ground. Just amazing, isn't it? And in the evenings, quail would come into the camp. They would just, thousands and thousands of quail would just come into the camp, and they just could pick a quail up and, you know, boil it, fry it. I don't know what all they did to it. Everybody got that, didn't they? Everybody been quail hunting or dove hunting? Or isn't it amazing how the little heads pop off so easy? How is that? Y'all been there? Just, you know. Awesome. Easy to clean. Bread in the morning, they pick it up off the ground. As the dew gave way, it gave way to bread. And as the heat of the day, as it heated up, that bread would melt away. You imagine seeing that every morning? This manna from heaven, this manna that was given to them. By the way, Deuteronomy chapter 8, we won't turn there, verses 2 through 3 says, "This manna was given to prove them and to show them that God cared for them." I'm summarizing, but that's what it was. That God did care for them. Can I tell you this morning, God cares for you. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, he's promised to supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And by the way, God is rich. He owns the hills. He He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and he owns the hills. He owns it all. And so he supplied the children of Israel their needs in the wilderness. In this, for 40 years, he supplied them bread in the morning. Again, except Saturday. And quail in the evening, he supplied them bread and meat. Amen. Bread and meat. An amazing God. An amazing miracle. Amazing miracle. Now John chapter 6. Most of you know where I'm going. John chapter 6. Here we see Jesus Christ. He had just, the previous verses, had fed the 5,000 with five loaves and two fishes. He tells the children, the disciples to get into a ship and to go to the other side. So they leave the the west side of the lake of Galilee, and they head to the east side, northeast side there in Capernaum by boat. The Bible says the storm came up in the night. They were in the dark there at night, and Jesus Christ walked on the water to them. God did a great miracle there, and they came to the other side. Look with me in verse 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, talking about over on the west side, neither his disciples, they also took ships and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, teacher means, when camest thou hither? In other words, how did you get here? We didn't see you go by boat. You didn't get in the boat with the disciples. And Jesus really didn't even answer him. He just said, Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. So he said, hey, you came here to get more food, is what you did. You're not concerned about me. Then said they unto him, what shall we do, that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Verse 30, then said they therefore unto him, what signs showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? He just fed you guys with five loaves and two fishes. I mean, they're wanting him to do a miracle and take care of them. They're wanting their physical needs met. What dost thou work? Verse 31, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. We just read it. Exodus chapter 16. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And he said unto But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless this time. Bless the reading of your word. I pray the picture today, the type, would be so clear that we would be blessed by it. But also, God, that there would be souls saved. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Jesus said he was that manna. So we see here manna is a type of Christ. It's a picture of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you look at verse 41, it says, the Jews then murmured to him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And they said, hey, isn't this Jesus, Joseph and Mary's son? And yet he saith he came down from heaven, verse 43. And Jesus therefore answered and said to them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last days. And he just goes on to say, look at verse 46, he says, not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, pay attention. Pay attention. I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat man in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, and I will give for the life of the world. This manna. The thing about bread, bread is important in the sustaining of life. Most all cultures have a bread-based culture, whatever it may be. America, a lot of people like bread here. Wheat bread, sourdough bread, kolache bread. Is kolache a bread? I don't know, but whatever's in that kolache stuff is really good. And I remember my grandmother making sourdough bread, go to the Lonesome Spur and eat homemade rolls, cornbread, waffles. Love bread, right? Bread is important. It's easily bought for rich or poor, middle class. You know, they keep the price down on purpose, make sure everybody can have bread, and of course, milk. But here we're talking about, this is no ordinary bread. Here Jesus says, he who eats of this bread shall live forever. Amen. Live forever. He'll live forever. Amen. I am the bread of life, he says. Jesus had just, again, fed the 5,000. He'd done all these things, and yet they come and ask him. They're wanting him to give him stuff. They're wanting him to take care of their physical needs. And he bypasses that and begins to talk about their spiritual need. He addresses their need for everlasting life. Again, some followed him there. And again, we think about him offering them the bread. So he pictures, the manna of the Old Testament pictures Jesus Christ. It came down from heaven. It sustained life. It fit the need. I'm glad Christ fits the need. Amen. It was given by God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He was that manna. He is that manna come down from heaven. Jesus Christ meets all our needs. All of our needs. He is the sustainer of life. Christ is sufficient for all our needs. Every area of your life, every need in your life can be met and is met by the Lord Jesus Christ. Every need. I think about the children of Israel as they're going throughout the desert there, that wilderness. And every morning they're picking up manna off the ground. Every morning they're picking up the little bread off the ground. And God is supplying their need in a place where it was impossible. Impossible. For them to sustain their own life. Impossible. And can I tell you, salvation is impossible apart from Jesus Christ. It's impossible. Through Jesus Christ, we have everlasting life. They picked up this bread every morning. It sustained their life every morning. Can I address the Christians real quick? Listen, Christian, this morning, we ought to delight in the law of the Lord day and night. We think about, again, getting up in the morning and reading our Bibles, praying, eating of that bread of life, eating of the sustainer of life, eating of that bread from heaven. We have the written Word of God. Jesus Christ was the living Word of God. We can read from the Bible. We can read and eat of that bread, drink of that milk. I think about the children of Israel in an impossible situation and God providing for them. And Christian, no matter what's going on in your life, God will provide for you. Amen. He will sustain you. But in order for it to sustain you, you have to eat of the bread. Or you'll starve. We have to eat of that bread. This bread must be eaten. It's impossible to sustain life unless you actually eat it. You could put the bread out on the table, but if you don't eat it, it's not going to sustain your life. Right? I enjoy eating, and this sermon, I could do a lot of joking around, but I do. It's you know, you set food out in front of me, I'm going to eat it. And Jesus Christ is the sustainer of life. How does he sustain life? How is he going to sustain our life? He says there in John chapter 6, verse 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Look at verse 39. "And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. How are we to? We are to believe in him. We are to trust in him. We are to believe on his name. Believe that he lived, he died, and he rose again. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Salvation is found in believing and trusting in Jesus Christ, his life, his death, and his resurrection. It's coming to him and repenting of your sins, acknowledging your sins, that it's because of our sin that we don't automatically go to heaven when we die. It's because of our sins that we are under God's wrath. It's because of our sins that we're under the penalty of death. Amen. Revelation describes that penalty as death, hell, and the grave. It's because of sin that Christ had to come and die on the cross for us. It's because of my sin that Christ had to shed his blood on Calvary. It's because of my sin that Christ died for me. And by the way, he died for you. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. The penalty for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have eternal life through Jesus Christ. He is that eternal bread. He is that bread come down from heaven. That when you eat of it, you'll never hunger again. See, there are many people today hungering and thirsting after something. There's a void in everybody's life. When we're born in this world, we're born with a void, and that void must be filled. And many people try to fill that void through various means of whatever that may be. Maybe it's simply staying busy at a job, or maybe it's entertainment. Maybe it's drugs and alcohol. Whatever it is, people are trying to fill the void. Some people fill that void with false religion and false hope. But when you come to Jesus and accept him as Savior, when you trust him and you eat of that bread of life, that void is filled. And you shall never hunger again. That soul that's thirsting for something, that soul, the spirit that's thirsting for something, the something that it needs is Jesus Christ. Ye hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. He takes and makes us alive. He brings our spirit alive, to life. He brings it to life. That spirit that was dead, he brings it to life. How? As we eat of him. You say, that's gross, eating him. No, spiritually. And he even clarifies it in here. I know there's a certain denomination who teaches that, the wafer and the drink are physically the body of Jesus, and the drink is physically the blood of Jesus Christ. That's not what he's teaching here. He's not saying that you have to literally eat of his blood, eat of his body and drink of his blood. He's saying this pictures what is going on. This is spirit. He says that to them. You can read the rest of the chapter. He said this is spirit because it says many of the disciples left him because it was a hard saying. And he says, hey, I'm not talking about the physical. I'm talking about the spiritual. I'm summarizing, okay? He said, I'm talking about the spiritual. Can I tell you this morning? This is a spiritual matter that impacts the physical. And that if you are going to escape hell and have a home in heaven, then you must eat of the bread of life. Can't put it plainer than that. He said, I am that bread come down from heaven. I am that manna. I am that bread that God has supplied. And if you will eat of me, you'll never hunger again. In verse 37 and 39, he says, those who take of me, they'll never go away. I'll never cast them away. I'm thankful that salvation is eternal. John 10:28 says, we shall never perish. No one is able to pluck us out of the Father's hand. Romans 8:38, nothing can separate us from the love of God. He says, he that eateth me shall live by me. In other words, I'm thankful today that when I accept Christ as my Savior, when I eat of that bread of life, that I'll never hunger again. I can never lose my salvation. Amen. You say, preacher, I was raised differently. I believe that, a person who sins, they can lose their salvation and must ask for forgiveness to regain that salvation. Can I remind you that anybody who's working for salvation, anybody who believes they can lose their salvation is working for it. And the Bible says, for by grace you save through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not a works lest any man should boast. Salvation is not found in what we do. Salvation is not found and is not gained by how we work and what we do. It's all found in the works of Jesus Christ by believing and trusting in him. And so, and therefore, if we didn't earn it, we can't lose it. I didn't earn salvation, and I can't lose it. He said, no man could pluck me out of the Father's hand. He said, preacher, what happens when I sin? Well, you lose fellowship with God, but you certainly don't get kicked out of the family. I don't know about you, but when my kids do something wrong, there's a little break in fellowship there, right? But don't kick them out of the family. Hello? God loves us unconditionally. I'm thankful that the love of God is not based upon my performance. Hello? Not based upon what I do. It's based upon what Christ did for me. And certainly that does not give us a license to sin. Paul said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace should abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I'm thankful that I'm accepted before God unconditionally. That my works are not based upon my eternality and where I spend eternity. But my works are based upon my love for Him. I don't serve Him because I have to. I serve Him because I want to. If you love me, he says, you'll keep my commandments. Boy, I tell you what. The grace of God in our day and age among Christianity is being abused like crazy. There was an ad on Facebook my wife showed me of a church that's starting here, somewhere here locally. I don't forget what the name of it was, but their whole advertisement basically came down to this. That you can live however you want to and do whatever you want to and still be saved. See, if you are really saved, you will not want to do what you want to. You will not want to live like you want to. When I got saved, I became a new creature in Christ, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When I got saved, I got a different want to. I got a want to live right. I got a want to do right. See, grace is not given to us so that we can do whatever we want to. No, grace is given to us so that we can live godly. It's grace of God that empowers us to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. You say, well, preacher, nobody's perfect. Absolutely nobody's perfect. You say, well, God doesn't expect perfection. Oh, listen. You serve a different God than I serve. That's not what the Bible tells me. The Bible says, be holy, for I am holy. You say, God expects me to live a holy life? Yes, He expects you to live a holy life. He expects me to live a holy life. So, preacher, I can't. Exactly. I can't either. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, I can certainly strive to do so. God, my sin does not cast me out of the family of God once I'm saved. I am saved forever. God loves me absolutely no matter what I do. And I'm so thankful for that, aren't you? That's the kind of God that I serve. Must take of the bread of life. Once taking the bread of life, He's the sustainer of life. That bread come down from heaven, it once eaten, you'll never thirst again. You have life for all eternity. And then He says there in John 6:53, then Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say to you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you. You see, the purpose or the aim of every Christian is to be like Christ. And the dead, those who are spiritually dead, can do without the bread. But if you're a Christian, you need it. It's what nourishes us. The illustration would be, when we get up every morning, when I get up in the morning, I feel something right down in here. And then it gets a little worse in over a 5 or 10 minute period, and all of a sudden, something really happens here in the stomach area. In the mornings, I am one of those people who I need to put something in there, even if it's something small. Just one packet of instant oatmeal will be all right. I know some of you don't like oatmeal. I love oatmeal. I like instant oatmeal. I like old-fashioned oatmeal. I like cream of wheat. I like malt oatmeal. I'm just trying to find stuff I don't like, which is very difficult. But when I get up in the morning, I want something. I need something in my stomach. Something. And there's some other reasons behind that. Physically, I need something in my stomach. And so I go to the pantry. I pull out usually an instant oatmeal, or sometimes I make breakfast for our family, sausage and eggs. Whew, I mean, it's hungry. But in the morning, my body needs something to eat. It needs food in order to sustain life. In fact, our bodies are so fearfully and wonderfully made that our bodies will do just about anything to sustain life. It amazes me. It amazes me. A doctor will come in and say, oh, this person's about to pass away and you got a few hours and they last 3 more weeks. The body, it's just amazing. It wants to sustain its life. It wants to continue to live. And so therefore, it gives you hunger pains. In fact, one of the signs usually that a person is passing away is that they lose their appetite. Listen, we need food physically in order to survive. And we need spiritual food in order to grow, in order to live. He is that bread of life. He is the sustainer of life. That we understand, and we've been preached to by many different people about, again, that though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed what? Day by day was our theme. Day by day. We need that manna from heaven day by day. We need that bread from heaven day by day. And we as Christians neglect the spiritual food, we become dried up spiritually. Amen. Don't turn that, we don't have time, but in Numbers chapter 11, you find the children of Israel complaining about the manna. And they began to complain that all we have is this manna. All we have is this manna. And they became tired of the manna. 40 years, they became tired of the manna. You see, this manna was an amazing, amazing bread. It could be, and y'all have heard this from Brother Stewart when he was here, that manna could be ground up. It could be ground up and it could be made into cakes. It could be boiled. There are many different things they could do with the manna. It wasn't that you just had to pick it up off the ground and eat it. By the way, the manna, the Bible describes the manna as angel's food. It describes it as heavenly food. It describes it as bread from heaven, corn from heaven. But it also describes the manna as tasting like honey or tasting like oil. It was an amazing miracle of God. Sometimes we as Christians become desensitized to the spiritual things. We become so familiar with spiritual things that they began to lose their luster. It is, again, like living in Colorado Springs and looking at Pikes Peak every day. Looking at the Colorado Mountains every day. Looking at the majestic Colorado Mountains, you know. The majestic Rocky Mountains. And if you live there long enough, they begin to lose their luster because you become familiar with them. As Christians, we need to be careful with familiarity. And therefore, we need to be careful about, again, our view of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it become be mundane in our own lives. And reading the Bible can become hard to do. And we began to lose appetite for the things of God. We need to come to the altar and say, Lord, help me. You know, when I don't feel like eating, my wife will say, are you sick? And the answer 90% of the time is yes. Fix me. Something's broke. I'm not hungry. And when you don't desire the things of God as a Christian, you need to ask yourself, am I sick? Yeah. And the answer is yes. You need to go to God and say, fix me. Amen. Fix me. This bread from heaven. Those who feed upon the bread are truly blessed. They shall never hunger. It says again in verse 35, he that cometh to me shall never hunger. I don't know if this morning maybe you're here and maybe you're seeking fulfillment in a job or money or marriage or alcohol or drugs or whatever it may be. But can I tell you, the only person who will satisfy your hunger, the only place you'll find fulfillment, is in Jesus Christ. He is the bread of life. He will supply all your needs. And I'm thankful this morning that in Christ we have a food that we can never exhaust. It never runs dry. The water never runs dry, but the bread of life never runs out. Jesus Christ is provided as that bread of life to be received. If not eaten, one will die and spend eternity in a place called hell. I ask you the question this morning, have you eaten of that bread? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? I'm thankful this bread costs nothing. It is a gift of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you'll simply come to Him. Salvation is free. I'm glad salvation's free. I'm glad salvation's free. Salvation's free for you and me. I'm glad salvation's free. It's free today. If you'll simply come and eat of that bread of life. Let's all stand. Christian, this morning the thought is that we must feast upon this bread daily as a sustainer of our spiritual strength. Again, the inward man is renewed day by day. Maybe this morning you're here and you've lost your appetite spiritually. Maybe you need to just come down to the altar and say, Lord, fix me. Something's not right. I don't enjoy my Bible study anymore. I don't enjoy even church. I'm coming to church out of obligation and know that I need to be here, but I don't enjoy it. I'm not enjoying my personal daily walk with you. By the way, God created us for His good pleasure. God wants that personal relationship with you. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. It's about having a personal relationship with Jesus. If that relationship isn't where it should be, just to come down to the Lord and say, Lord, fix me. And again, this morning, if you're lost, if you're here this morning and have never eaten the bread of life, won't you come to this altar and we'll show you from the Bible how you can have your sins forgiven and have a home in heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your love and the blessings of salvation. And Lord, we do pray that someone's here who's never accepted you as Savior, they might come today and accept you before it's eternally too late. Lord, may we eat of that bread daily as Christians, that our spiritual man may be strengthened. Lord, may we never grow anemic, but God, may we feast upon you. We thank you, Lord, for what you do in Jesus' name.